Hainai, Osai Manas.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger!
You didn't crawl out from under no rocks, you didn't have no tails, you didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pink of meat.
That's right, Archie, you tell him. Good morning and welcome into the midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. I'm Mark Congleton, the host of this silly little podcast slash live event on Facebook each morning, hoping you're having a great hump day and hoping that you're enjoying what you're hearing every day that is providing useful content for you. Thank you so much for being there. I do appreciate how you're listening, where you're listening, just the fact that you're listening. And it's surprising to me to look at the stats and to see where people are tuning in from. Tuning in. Yeah, I was in radio for a long time. The where people are accessing this broadcast from, and it is a broadcast because it's going out to more people than just me. So, I've already told you, we've got people in California, Alaska, Hawaii, the UK, and beyond. And it's interesting to look at those stats and see that that people are tuning in from various and sundry places around the world, and some of them. Not all, but some of them are hanging on, and some of them are coming back and subscribing to the podcast, and I appreciate that. So if you're a new subscriber to the podcast, thanks. I appreciate it a lot. Share it with your friends. Let them know it's here, and we'll get together on a daily basis on Facebook Live and through your podcast aggregator, so just hang in there. It may be a little strange to you at the beginning, but give me a couple of weeks. Just give me a couple of weeks. And I think you'll understand where I'm coming from and what I'm and how I see things. And that's what this is about. It's called The Daily Perspective because it's every day, it's my perspective on the lunacy that is the life that goes on around us. It's politics, it's entertainment, it's daily living, and the absurdity of life. And one of my core philosophies about life is that if you can't appreciate absurdity, you need to stay in your room. Because all you're going to do is make everybody around you sad. And sadly enough, there are an entire segment of people in our society who this is what they do. They see everything through this bizarre filter and they're offended by everything. And those people are progressives. And we pick on progressives every day here. If you're a progressive and you've started listening to this podcast, welcome aboard. You as a person, I like you. Your philosophy, I don't. Hopefully we can agree to disagree, and hopefully you will start to understand how I see things the way I do. But let's get things moving here. I hope you're having a good day so far. Those of you on Facebook Live this morning, hey, thanks for getting up and being part of the program. If you've just found the podcast, this is a daily Facebook Live event. It happens on the Mark and Mac Show Facebook page, and the reason it does that is because Dave Mack and I are radio partners. We've done a radio show together for years upon years upon years. We're in between stations, and I decided to start doing a podcast just to keep myself rolling every day. And that's how this came about. I think, you know what? I've been writing little articles on my website, on the blog called The Daily Perspective. Why not just make that a podcast? So that's what I did. And then I realized, you know, I could do Facebook Live with this. And actually do it like I'm doing a radio show every day, and that'll actually help me stay in the groove, so to speak. So, here we are. So if you're listening to the podcast version, I encourage you to jump on and be part of the Facebook Live version of things. And good morning to those of you who are out there, James and Vincent and the rest of you. It's nice to see you on board, and I'm glad you're there every day. So, what's going on around us today? You know, I don't like talking about Don Lemon on CNN, or as Tucker Carlson refers to him as Don Lemon, which I just think is beautiful. But he's actually warning the Democrats about something. They may be tripping into something. He's absolutely right. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. And let's see. There's a couple of more women. A couple of more women have stepped forward to say, you know, creepy Uncle Joe is creepy. We'll take a look at that very shortly. Meghan McCain got into a rather heated back and forth on The View The view shrews were not happy. And Justice Kavanaugh, who the progressives fought so hard, has done something, has given the conservatives a major Supreme Court death penalty win. And it's a really, most people don't think about the death penalty and the ins and outs and the way people are put to death. But that's what this is about. And maybe if we have some time, Moonbat Alyssa Milano's in Georgia, and she's unhappy. We'll see if we can get to that. First up, creepy Uncle Joe. Two more women have come forward to say they were made uncomfortable by feely encounters with former Vice President Joseph R. Biden Jr. According to accounts given to the New York Times and posted Tuesday evening, last night, one of the women is a sexual assault survivor. The other had to be protected by her husband. The former woman, 22-year-old college student Caitlin Caruso. The latter, 59-year-old writer DJ Hill. Ms. Caruso told the Times that Mr. Biden, the undeclared frontrunner for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, put his hand on her thigh, despite her squirming back at him. Let's take a break here for a moment. Gentlemen, would you ever place your hand on the leg of a woman who is not your direct relative or your wife? If it's your sister, you might reach out and put your hand on her thigh and lean over and whisper something to her, just as, you know, hey, let me get your attention. If it's your wife, any number of reasons, but yes. But a woman you have just met? I think Mr. Biden has some issue with personal space. Moving on. At the encounter 3 years ago at an event, on sexual assault at the University of Nevada at Las Vegas, Mr. Biden also hugged Ms. Caruso just a little bit too long, she said. While Ms. Caruso said she didn't say anything publicly, just considered the encounter how men are. That's the way she felt. Oh, that's just how men are. The Times wrote, particularly uncomfortable because she had just shared her own story of sexual assault and had expected Mr. Biden, by the way, an architect of the 1994 Violence Against Women Act, to understand the importance of physical boundaries. I have to make a sidebar here. Biden, they note here in this article from the Washington Times that he was an architect, one of the architects of the 1994 Violence Against Women Act. Might I suggest that his name is credited with the Violence Against Women Act, that he takes credit for being an architect of the 1994 Violence Against Women Act, but, you knew the but was coming, he probably has no earthly idea what the 1994 Violence Against Women Act actually says or calls for. Why? Because members of his staff crafted his part. Back to the article. While Ms. Caruso said nothing publicly, just considered the encounter how men are, remember that. That's just how men are. No, honey, it's not. It really isn't. Most of us, the vast majority of us, those of us except for the ones you see on the news for being pervs, which, I mean, those are the tiny, tiny, tiny minority of men, we understand you're uncomfortable. So we don't approach you. In fact, if you'll notice in your life, most of the time when a hug transpires, you start it, because men wait for women to hug, because we know you're uncomfortable, and we also know that some women are uncomfortable and litigious. According to Ms. Hill, well, she says it doesn't even really cross your mind such a person would dare perpetrate or perpetuate harm like that. These are supposed to be people you can trust. She and her husband, Robert, were having their pictures taken with Mr. Biden at a 2012 fundraiser in Minneapolis. Mr. Biden put his arm around Ms. Hill's shoulder and began moving it down her back, making her very uncomfortable. Mr. Hill saw her reaction, then put his arm on Mr. Biden's shoulder and made a joke to interrupt. According to Mrs. Hill, she also said nothing then, didn't know Mr. Biden's intent or even whether he sensed any awkwardness from the Hills. She says only he knows his intent. If something makes you feel uncomfortable, you have to feel able to say it. The Times didn't report any immediate reaction from Mr. Biden or a spokesman to the new accusations. So, creepy Uncle Joe is having his Me Too moment. Or a string of Me Too moments are coming forward about creepy Uncle Joe. Dave and I on the Mark and Max show have joked about Uncle Joe for several years. We have observed the way he approaches people. We've seen the video and the pictures with the uncomfortable looks on women's faces. The looks of surprise and shock. We had a good laugh at Jeff Sessions moving his little girl, his granddaughter, away from Joe Biden when Joe Biden put his hands on her. In fact, I think Dave posted that to his social media as a reminder yesterday, and I had to laugh. And now, because Joe Biden is not Beto O'Rourke, and that's really what this comes down to, the Me Too movement is coming out. The progressive press is actually printing articles about it. Because if Joe was not who they wanted to be their candidate to go against Trump in 2020, then you would not be hearing about this. The reason you're hearing about this is because Joe Biden makes them uncomfortable. They know he can't win. They know Trump will eat his lunch in 2020. They want Beto O'Rourke or Bernie Sanders. They either want an out-front socialist or a closet socialist. An out-front socialist or the product of a media campaign. And I say that about Beto O'Rourke because it's beginning to be more and more obvious that he is being scripted and prompted by the same people behind Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Justice Democrats. They're a radical group. Look them up. I talked about them before. You need to do your homework. Look up Justice Democrats. Find out their roots. Find out what they believe. You will be shocked. These are the people scripting Ocasio-Cortez and those two others, those two other women who are out there making statements that are offending people, the anti-Semitic statements that they're making. Those three people were part of a handful of candidates who were handpicked, auditioned by Justice Democrats. And it looks like part of that group is coaching Beto O'Rourke because he's using some of the same terminology these ladies are. And one of the members of that group is working with him. So what we have is a group who wants to orchestrate, who wants to handpick and groom the next presidential candidate. And they are outside the Democrat Party. And they don't want Joe Biden to be the candidate. And as a result, we're starting to see articles pop up, the stories from the people who were uncomfortable with the way he behaved around them. And the flip side of that is that Nancy Pelosi, the Jew shrews, and some of the View shrews, I should say, and some others are defending creepy Uncle Joe. You can do a little digging and find those stories as well. And bless their hearts, they can defend him all they want to, but there is enough rabid support of the Me Too movement, which believe all women, really. I just have to say, Tawana Brawley, Anita Hill, all women. We've seen enough stories to know that we shouldn't believe all women, because some of them do lie, for vengeance or for political gain. We're seeing this movement execute more and more power during presidential elections and otherwise. So do your homework. Look into what these people are doing and saying. And you'll understand that Creepy Uncle Joe's having a hard time right now because they don't want him to be their candidate for president. After the break, what's Don Lemon up to? He's issued a warning. We'll look at that next. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Thanks for being there. Mark Congleton here. Kind of keeping the monkeys in the cage from tearing the zoo apart. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood, except for the pollen. Hopefully things are good where you are as well. Well, Don Lemon over at CNN, who, bless his heart, is a leftist progressive wackadoodle. He's actually said something that's absolutely true. And that is, the Democrats need to be careful. He warned the Democrats, the presidential candidates, that they're working to re-elect President Trump if they keep on doing what he's describing as an apology tour. Monday night, Lemon downplayed the recent allegations of unwanted touching against former Vice President Joe Biden. Yeah, we're still talking about Creepy Uncle Joe. And he argued that some things warrant a sense of humor. Quote, it's definitely reaching a peak now, the official Democrats apology tour. Don't get me wrong, nobody should be touching anybody inappropriately, okay? Men, women, nobody, period. But we spend a lot of time in this country getting to the point where women feel like they can come forward and tell their stories. They have to be comfortable to come forward and tell their stories, and that's progress. That is very important for this country. And if you've done something wrong, then you should apologize. That's true for all of us. Still, an awful lot of Democrats have been apologizing an awful lot lately. This article says two women, actually it's now four, have come forward alleging that Mr. Biden touched them without their consent in a non-sexual way, made them uncomfortable. Former congressional aide Amy Lapos said the former vice president grabbed her by the back of the head and pulled her in to rub noses during a 2009 fundraiser in Connecticut. Former Nevada assemblywoman Lucy Flores said Mr. Biden approached her from behind at a 2014 campaign event, smelled her hair, kissed the back of her head as she prepared to give a speech. And then the other two women we just talked about a moment ago. Mr. Biden, who has not formally announced a 2020 bid, denied that he acted inappropriately and said it was never his intention to make anyone uncomfortable. On his show, Mr. Lemon, I really like Tucker Carlson's pronunciation, appeared to suggest that an apology from Mr. Biden isn't necessary. He played a montage of 2020 hopefuls giving their own apologies, including Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, for her exaggerated claims of Native American heritage, and Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii for her anti-LGBTQ past. Yeah, she had to change her tune in order to win acceptance and not be campaigned against. He says, can we have a sense of humor about some things? Let's give all of them credit, though, for owning what they said or what they've done. Some things are worth apologizing for and admitting when they're wrong. Then let's face it, voters don't expect people to elect a perfect person. Wow, that's an admission. Voters don't expect people to elect a perfect person. Gee, Mr. Lemon, do you think maybe you could apply that same standard to the current commander-in-chief? He adds, some things are worth apologizing for, but some things are not. Let's just be honest. Should you continue to look at things through a 2019 lens from 10, 20, 30 years ago? Otherwise, who'd want to run for president? No one's perfect. If Democrats keep like this, good luck. Hashtag Trump 2020. He's absolutely right, you know, because that's something that we've said for quite some time. The reason Donald Trump is president is because of the Democrats and the media. They, with their insanity, pushed him to the top. The majority of Americans were disgusted enough, fed up enough, they'd had enough So they went to the polls and they elected a guy who made his name in real estate development and on a reality show on NBC. A guy who at one time was adored and loved by the media. He was sought after as a guest on talk shows. He was sought after for interviews, for his opinion on things. But when he went up against the left, he became Satan himself, or Adolf Hitler. They drove people to the polls to vote Republican. And Don Lemon, as goofy as he is, sees this clearly. But he still has a double standard. Because he says voters don't expect people to elect a perfect person when it applies to Democrats, but he won't apply that standard to a Republican. And he says we shouldn't look at things from 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago through the standards of today, right now. And in part, he's right about that. But the problem with that is he doesn't really have standards. And these people don't really have standards. Because if they did, they would be rooted in something that isn't today. It would be something proven long ago to be true that never changes. But what they do is they apply a standard of convenience. I want this. I want to feel good about this. So this is my standard. And because this is my standard, everything that disagrees with it is evil. Those statues must come down. That's what drove the destruction of Confederate statues and the like. Because they don't conform to the current view of what is proper, what is correct. So Don Lemon and the rest of the leftist press, they get something right once in a while. You know, that old saying, even a blind squirrel can find a nut from time to time. But you can't count on him to be correct all the time. Bless his heart. God love him. You know what that means. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Speaking of nuts, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm going to skip that one. Anyway, let's talk about the apology tour again. Okay? Meghan McCain has gotten into a bit of a tiff with Joy Behar on The View. I call these ladies The View shrews. And I kind of wish I'd actually seen it happen, because it appears to be something that was entertaining. It's not unusual for things to get a little heated between the ladies on The View. Ladies. But this time, when it was questioned whether the American people understand socialism, co-host Meghan McCain declared that democratic socialists are the reason President Donald Trump's going to get reelected in 2020. And she's right. That's one of many reasons. Tuesday's show consisted of a fiery discussion, starting with the co-hosts talking about a poll, which shows most Americans are okay with a homosexual candidate, but fewer Americans are okay with a socialist president. The discussion turned into co-host Behar wondering if Americans understand the meaning of socialism, which McCain swiped back at, saying, "Oh, people are smart." Behar countered she disagrees that socialism is a bad thing ahead of 2020. And Meghan McCain, exasperated, said, "I miss Whoopi when she's not here." Whoopi, although I do disagree with her, does tend to be the calming factor on the show. McCain said, "I'm just trying to explain to you the other side and why democratic socialists could be leading you toward the path of Trump getting reelected. Instead, I'm told I don't understand what democratic socialism is. I assure you, Joy, I do." During another segment of Tuesday's show, Behar claimed the former president Barack Obama's presidency was completely scandal-free. And that prompted McCain to swipe back. She blasted the idea of Obama's administration viewed as pristine, scandal-free, perfect, never did anything wrong. And then Hostin also claimed Obama's administration was scandal-free, and McCain reiterated her warning how Trump would get reelected. She said, "I'm telling you, It is how we got Trump, and it's how you're going to reelect him. And when he's reelected, at this point, I believe he is going to be, I hope you'll listen to the points I've given you. And she's absolutely right. As I've said before, the progressives drove people to the polls in 2016, and they are driving people back that direction again. You can't trust the media-generated polls. Remember that back in 2016, every poll gave Hillary Clinton the presidency. Every poll. Every poll. They all said Trump had zero chance. The pundits, the talking heads on election night, on television, on the cable news and network news shows were all saying early in the evening, it's Hillary's presidency. Trump has no chance. No chance. The polling and the pundits were wrong in 2016. The polling and pundits are wrong about 2020. I will say this, and I said it in 2016, that Trump will have to win by a substantial margin to beat the shenanigans the left will try to pull off. Because there will be massive voter fraud. I believe there was in 2016. But they continue to deny it. He will have to win by a massive margin. Because they're doing everything they can by hook or crook to keep him from being reelected. And so it's up to right-thinking people, rational, reasonable, decent people, to get off their duff and vote in 2020.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
Yeah,
you're
me too.
Ugly as a cactus, you're as charming.
My brows are jammed together.
Mr. Grinch.
What the? Inch.
You're a okay. Bad banana with a greasy black.
Sometimes the computer running the schedule decides, you know, we need some Christmas music.
You're a monster.
And this is all completely on me because I usually scan the schedule and go, well, wait a minute, we need to replace that. It happens just every, maybe once a week. It happened last week. Did it happen on Wednesday? I think it did happen on Wednesday. It's time to go look at my scheduling to go see if maybe I have screwed something up on Wednesday. And there's still Christmas tunes. I need more coffee, or maybe less. It is the Daily Perspective. That's what you're listening to. Mark Congleton here. You're there. I like this arrangement because I kind of like to drive. It's a hump day midweek edition of the podcast. These days are running together for me. And I hope you are well. Hey, by the way, thanks to those of you who have signed up for the daily newsletter. I send out my show notes every day, the links to the articles and the stories that I talk about, everything we've talked about so far has come from a news source, and sometimes I remember to tell you, yeah, this is coming out of like the Federalist Papers or the Washington Times or something like that. But I send everything to you if you're a subscriber, so you can actually check and read the articles incomplete yourself. And from time to time, I don't get to everything in the articles because sometimes the articles are just really, really long, and I just get you the gist of what it's talking about before I start having my say about things. And sometimes the articles contain a lot of Twitter, you know, links and the like, which I won't get to. And this is one of those articles. It's about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and there's a bunch of Twitter feedback because she or somebody on her staff representing her, which I believe is the case, lives on Twitter and just tweets everything, whether there are gray cells involved or not. New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is making a brand for herself with millennial-style clapbacks on Twitter. She directs at her enemies, or her staff does. She never seems to have the answers when asked tough questions on Twitter. She doesn't have a policy, but she has wise responses. Oh, yeah, she can wisecrack. That was the tack she chose to take on Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson called her a moron when it comes to policy. She responded to his attack by saying, "You mad, bro?" with the little laughing until you cry emoji. And of course, that is mature and befitting a congressperson. And then immediately, she was destroyed by conservatives and Carlson supporters who schooled her on how to clap back on Twitter. Carmine Sabia says, "Ned, no. We want you to be the face of the Democrats. Why do you think we promote you, you clueless nitwit?" Kurt Schilling responded, "Lord, no, we're not mad. You are misinterpreting our exuberance over you opening your mouth. You are the best thing to happen to the POTUS 2020 run since he won in 2016. You are the," he spells it with two E's, "you are the living, breathing example of why we can never allow socialist ideas to take hold here. Thank you." Austin Peterson replies, "Not really. Laughing mostly and benefiting. You're going to get Trump reelected. Keep talking." And then finally, Angelo Ray Gomez says, "Your constituents in your district are mad that they can't get a hold of you and you care more about party politics." That's another story that we should get into at some point, about how her constituents in her district in New York call her office and get an answering service. They get a recording. Nobody ever gets through to her. Nobody ever calls back. In fact, I've seen a handful of reports that say there's not an option to leave a message. They just get a recording. In my book, that's not representing your district. They've given you what you wanted, and you're through with them. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has had her one-night stand with her district, and she's moving on. New York, she doesn't take kindly, by the way, to criticism. And that was even more apparent this week. Fox News host Tucker Carlson, a man the Democrats despise and want off TV, went after her with both barrels, and after he did, she had one of her temper tantrums on Twitter. He said, "So it's official, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a moron, and nasty, and more self-righteous than any televangelist who ever preached a sermon on cable access. She's not impressive, she's awful." He was discussing the moment during her MSNBC town hall with Chris Hayes, where her movement was compared to the Tea Party. She said to a crowd of supporters, "We're actually talking about something substantive. We're not calling anyone names. People say Tea Party of the left, and I find this phrasing very interesting because the grounding of the Tea Party was xenophobia, the underpinnings of white supremacy." And Carlson laughed because it's pretty ironic and said, "Yeah, stop with the name calling, you racist, white supremacist, xenophobe." Chris Hayes is what every man would be if feminists ever achieved absolute power in this country. Apologetic, bespectacled, and deeply, deeply concerned about global warming and the patriarchal systems that cause it. Hayes frames the terms at the outset of the show. "Unless you do exactly what Dr. Ocasio-Cortez says, the entire human race has only 12 years to live." When someone called a former Republican congressman a moron at our televised town hall, I shut it down immediately because I believe our policies can win on merit and can be improved with productive discourse. You know, we're winning when the GOP resorts to vapid personal insults, she said in a tweet after she called the Tea Party a group of white supremacists. Yeah. So, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I said this earlier. She was auditioned for the part of being a congressperson by the group Justice Democrats. She was one of a handful of people who made it through the process and got elected. Justice Democrats is coaching her, is scripting her, is rehearsing her. She's not really a congressional representative. She's acting and being directed by Justice Democrats. And she steps out and says things like this because She's really a vapid twit. She really has no depth. She has no substance. She is a mouthpiece. A scripted, rehearsed, coached mouthpiece for a group of people who want to continue the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. She's getting a lot of screen time. She's getting a lot of exposure. And there are those who think that she is just, she's the best thing to come along since sliced bread. They buy into her idiocy because they have no base themselves. You see, we have a generation of people. We're surrounded by them. And if you're a parent of an adult child, you understand what I'm about to say. Especially if that adult child is in their early 30s. I would say early to mid 30s or younger. You see them accepting things that they have seen in social media and on television as the gospel truth, and rejecting things which have substance and foundation simply because one of their people didn't say it. My wife and I have been watching a series of YouTube videos. And I'm not going to get into who these people are who are in these videos or what they do. I'll just say that they, at this point, are nearing 40 years of age. They're a couple. They've been married for, they've been together for probably about 15 years now. And the guy is fairly savvy, and he's supporting himself. He's a guy who has had to put his feet under himself and support himself and his wife. And she does. I mean, that's what she is. She is a housewife. She stays at home. She spends her days watching television. And she's a housewife. She preps his meals and things like that. She actually has embraced the role. And in that sense, I kind of admire her because it's not an easy job. But on the flip side, she believes some pretty bizarre things. And I followed her on Twitter for a while. I followed the both of them on Twitter for a while. And I stopped following her because once a week, she has to post something extremely negative and extremely hateful about Donald Trump. And the reason she does is because she just believes what everybody in her age group who is indoctrinated by pop culture believes. Now, her hubby is wise enough not to alienate people by doing that. He just posts positive stuff about what he does that people are following on YouTube. He gets it. He understands that you don't take the stage and alienate half of your potential audience by talking about politics. I honestly do not care where you stand as far as politics are concerned if you're an entertainer. I just don't. I don't want you to tell me. I just want you to do your job, which is to entertain me. If you can't do your job without stepping into the spotlight and telling me something I completely disagree with because I've actually done my homework, then I'm not likely to spend money to see what you produce anymore. So I stopped following her on Twitter. And now when I watch their videos, I fast forward for her, through her parts because she's driving me nuts. And as I said, as a parent of an adult child, I see this in our son to a degree, and those who are younger than him, it's even worse. And thank God our son, Joe, will raise an eyebrow and say, "Oh, really?" from time to time, because he understands, since he's getting close to 40 himself, he understands, that's not how life really works. And I can only hope that this generation will at some point grow up and realize that what they so fervently and passionately hold to and believe is not real. At least we can hope. Welcome to the Daily Perspective. If you just joined us on Facebook Live, where were you? I mean, we're 48 minutes into this thing. Come on. Oh, man. You know, I don't talk about Alyssa Milano. Now, I do take jabs at her, and I relay stories about her on our social media accounts, but I usually don't talk about her on the show because it's a waste of time, but honestly, sometimes you just have to go to the crazy. And this is the crazy. Actress Alyssa Milano has been leading the charge in opposing pro-life legislation, seeking to protect unborn babies with beating hearts from slaughter by abortion in the state of Georgia. Now, she penned a letter. It was signed by 50 Hollywood heavyweights calling for a boycott of the state if HB 481, also known as the Heartbeat Bill, passes. By the way, it did. And I stated on social media the other day, if this is all it takes to keep 50 creepy Hollywood weirdos out of your state, why doesn't every state do it? Milano bizarrely expressed her love for God and quoted the Bible Monday in her quest to stop the legislation and push abortion. She declared, "I love God, I believe in God, but," when somebody says "but," in that context, you know something crazy's coming. "But I don't believe my personal beliefs, of which we can't confirm, should override scientific facts and what we can confirm." Of course, scientifically speaking, at conception, a human embryo with unique DNA is created. This is a known established scientific fact. Ending her post, she added a Bible verse from the Gospel of John to give abortion one last push. She quotes John 3:12. It says, "If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Well, she is apparently the princess of taking things out of context. Twitter reacted to her tweet as exactly the way you'd expect. Elisha Krauss from the Daily Wire had a question. Said, "So when does a baby in utero become scientifically human enough for you to protect their life?" Lauren Enriquez responded, "Who wants to tell her that the fact that human life begins at fertilization has been scientific consensus for almost a century?" Emily Zanotti from the Daily Wire wrote, "If these babies aren't humans, someone should tell them to stop kicking the crap out of my bladder." Matt Walsh, who's now a Daily Wire writer and author, podcast host, asked, "Do you think God creates a child in a woman's womb just so it can be killed, or do you think he might have better plans in mind for it?" Allie Beth Stuckey, she asked, or she says, "This tweet shows you have very little knowledge of both the theology and science." Lila Rose of Live Action said, if you don't have to love God to acknowledge the irrefutable science that a unique individual human life begins at the moment of conception, but if you love God, then you'll also love his children. He's a father, and every single one of us are created in his image. She also tweeted Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 to Milano. That says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well." Ryan Saavedra from the Daily Wire said, "I believe in something, but I have no idea why exactly I believe it, so killing babies is okay with me. Oh, gosh. Now, her letter, addressed to Georgia House Speaker David Ralston and Republican Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, threatens a boycott of the state from a large chunk of the entertainment industry if they pass the legislation protecting the unborn. It says, in part, as actors, our work often brings us to Georgia. We've always found your state to be populated with friendly and caring people. We found the hotels in which we stay and restaurants in which we dine while filming there to be comfortable and of a high quality. We've been glad to bring millions of dollars in revenue to support Georgia's schools, parks, and communities. But we cannot, in good conscience, continue to recommend our interest to remain in Georgia if HB 481 becomes law. She and 50 Hollywood heavyweights have threatened the state of Georgia. That is actually old news. This happened a couple weeks ago. But it shows how seriously these people take themselves, that they would threaten an economic boycott of a state for protecting the lives of innocent and defenseless unborn children. So it's more important to these 50 Hollywood heavyweights that women be able to have the choice to end the life of a child . That's more important than anything. How long can we, as consumers, continue to support an industry which places the murder of the innocent unborn so highly on their priority list? When you know this is what they support, how can you spend the money at the box office on their on tickets to see them perform? How can you continue to give them your hard-earned money when you know this is what they believe and this is what they want to keep perpetrating? Abortion is the Holocaust of today. Millions upon millions of innocent people have died. Who knows what could have come from the lives of these children? Who knows what medical advances we could have achieved? Who knows what scientific breakthroughs we could have seen? Who knows what wisdom and insight and change could have happened in societies around the world had those innocent lives been protected and allowed to become adults? We'll never know. We'll never know. There's been a political cartoon that's been circulating for quite some time that's somebody saying is blaming God for not finding the cure to cancer. And a voice speaks from the sky and says, I tried to send somebody to give you the answer. You aborted them. How long can we continue to support the entertainment industry when it does this? Got to be honest with you. I haven't bought a ticket for anything Tom Cruise has been in for quite some time. Basically because he's nuts. And basically because of the way he is involved with Scientology and the way Scientology harms people and destroys families. Alyssa Milano will never get another dime of our family's money. And the 50 people on that list, it's available online, search for it, shouldn't get your support either. Because frankly, they're standing against life. And they have no respect for reality and the truth. They are living in their own fantasy world. And their fantasy world worships at the altar of abortion. And you and I shouldn't be shouldn't help fund them. We just shouldn't. That's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow on The Daily Perspective.